October is Respect Life Month. And when you received me as your new priest in July, you not only received a new pastor, you also received a bioethicist. So the other thing I do, as well as ministering to your pastoral needs here at the parish, is for the diocese, I work in medical ethics. So I work in healthcare ethics. And I just want to speak this morning with you heart to heart about the incredible power of what the Christian faith has done in shaping what healthcare is today. Christian faith means that when you look out at the world, you see more, not less, than other people. Because of your faith, when you look at another person, you see more there. Because you see within the other person a reflection of God's very face. You see the image of God within them. And this is the dignity of each individual human person. And folks, that's what the entire Christian faith in bioethics is about. It's about protecting and promoting the dignity of the human person. Now, we hear this so many times that it can wash over you like water. Yeah, I know the dignity of the human person. We're made in the image of God. I've heard this since I was a young kid. But we lose something of how radical this is, how radical this vision is. So to understand it in terms of what it's contrasted with, to understand it in terms of the culture that Christianity was born into. Christianity, you see the nativity up here, was born into a Greco-Roman culture, which is very different from our own. Doctors existed in the midst of this culture. They existed, but they were for private hire. And so those who were very wealthy could afford to hire their services. And they also worked within the military, fixing up soldiers when they got injured. They had the medical knowledge of their time. They had the resources. But there were no hospitals. There was no healthcare as we know it today. What they lacked was the motive, the why. Among the early Christians, in fact as well, there were a number of doctors, but they pretty much just took care of other Christians. What sparked a change in this? What changed this? It was a pandemic. In AD 250, there was a massive pandemic that took off. It was called the Plague of Cyprian. They think it was something along the lines of a smallpox, but there were symptoms of Ebola within it as well. It was super deadly. To give you an idea, you know, you watch the paper and see how many people get sick, what the death count is each day with COVID. At the height of this plague, there were 5,000 people dying a day in the city of Rome alone. It's how deadly it was. It took, over the course of its life, two emperors. And so within the whole empire, there was fear. There was also within the whole empire a need to blame somebody. Where did this start? Why is it spreading? The Emperor Decius looked out and he said, the reason this plague is hitting us is because we have stopped worshiping the Roman gods. They've stopped protecting us. And so he implemented within the empire that every single person within the empire had to worship to the Roman gods. This, of course, was a huge problem for Christians. They worship only one God. And so what had happened in the wake of this was the first large-scale Christian persecution in its history. There had been pockets of it before. This was the first time that within the entire empire, Christians were being persecuted. Fear gripped people as well. That when somebody in your house gets sick now, they're quarantined. Or if they're bad enough, they're brought to the hospital, to the ICU, and they're quarantined there. If someone in your family started showing the symptoms of this disease, almost all within the Roman Empire would take that family member and they'd put them out in the street and they would leave them there to die. They knew love, but they were ruled by fear. But in the midst of this whole thing as well, the reason it's called the Plague of Cyprian is because of the preaching of a bishop from Carthage, Bishop Cyprian. And he told the Christians, it is not enough for you to be ruled by fear. It's not enough for you to just care for your fellow Christians either. That the Christian life is one that's ruled by charity. It's ruled by the love of God. So go out and care for those who are trying to kill you. Go out and care for those who are dying in your midst. What would your master Jesus do? And so in the midst of a persecution and a deadly plague, what people began to see was these Christians would go out into the streets after people had been left for dead there, and they would gather them up, and they would bring them to certain homes where those Christians who had medical knowledge would begin to care for them. They would treat them as best they can. And the pagans couldn't believe what they were seeing. They couldn't believe it. Why would these Christians, what do they see when they go gather these sick people up? Do they not know that they're going to get sick themselves? Are they that stupid? Don't they know that we're also trying to kill them? And in the midst of the 40 years that this plague socked the Roman Empire, this witness of Christian charity had such an impact that the number of Christians in the midst of being persecuted and dying off in a plague, the number of Christians rose 40%. So powerful is the Christian faith when it's lived out. And these little centers of Christian hospitality, half a century later when Christianity was legalized, they popped up all over the cities. And these centers of Christian hospitality, that's such a watered-down word now. It means receiving all as Jesus Christ. These became the hospitals in the world. These centers of hospitality. But why was it so different between the one culture and the other? A people are a reflection of what they worship. American culture looks like the gods that we worship, both the good and the bad. The gods that we worship of wealth, pleasure, individualism, whatever it might be. The Roman Empire, think of what the Roman gods looked like. The Greek gods, you've seen the statues of them. They looked a little bit like me. They were ripped, right? Think of the statues. The Greek statues, they represented the gods that they worshiped. And they saw themselves as a reflection of these gods, that they were portrayed as strength, health, power. How did the Roman Empire see itself? As a people of strength, health, and power. They saw themselves as a reflection of their gods, and that's what they sought to protect as well. And so it wasn't strange at all in the Greek and Roman world that if you had an infant that was deformed, that was weak, what would you do? Infanticide was widespread. You would go and you'd put it up back up on the mountain, give it back to the gods. You would let it die of exposure. But here are the Christians who also sought to be a reflection of the God that they worshiped, true power. But look at the God that the Christians worship. Though he has all the power in the universe, he chose to become weak. And he hung around and ministered all the time to those who were the most vulnerable, the poor, continually healing the sick, hanging out with the greatest of sinners, the prostitutes. And the Christians sought to reflect that God that they worshiped. Everyone, the power of the Christian faith, there's nothing like it when it's lived out. The Christian faith has survived empires. It's survived plagues. Because when you, as a Christian, Look at another person, especially those who are smallest in our midst, most vulnerable, the unborn, the poor, the sick, the elderly. You don't see simply a problem to be fixed, but you see instead a person to be loved, because you see within there a reflection of God's face itself, a reflection of the image of God and the great dignity of human life.